Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
Here we talk about all things step-parenting, blended family, divorce, remarriage, and being a fucking badass. Listen and subscribe to the Trade Up Stepmom podcast. If you have a question you'd like to ask or a topic you'd like to hear about, please email me at thetradeupstepmom@gmail.com. You can also find me on Instagram as thetradeup_stepmompodcast or on Facebook as The Trade Up Stepmom. Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Now that I finally got you, my phone is like black, spinny wheel of death, and not my friend today. Well, welcome to the podcast. Finally, I know we've been chit-chatting for a while, just because I think you found me and then we were talking about your podcast. So I just am excited to have you here.
Right, right. Yeah. I think it was almost a year ago I found you, and I was working nights, so I just had like 8 hours a day where I wasn't talking to anyone. So I'm like, I gotta find something to do or I'm gonna lose my mind. And I started listening to podcasts and you were the first one that came up.
Aww. I didn't know I was the first.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Well, why don't you tell the listeners just a little bit about your stepmom story, and then we'll make sure to touch on your podcast.
All right. I met my husband, Ryan, in 2018. And at that point, he had a one-year-old. And we got married in 2021. Step kid is 6 now. We have one fur baby that gets greetings before I do when my husband comes in the house. And we live with my mother. She's almost 70. So, it's really interesting because we're all almost the same person. So anytime anyone has an idea, everyone's like, yeah, that's great. Let's do it.
That's awesome. So, then how does your mom feel about your stepkid?
Well, she actually works for the school system. She's used to little kids, especially preschool age kids. Mm-hmm. And so they've been kind of touch and go. But I think once my nieces and nephews visited and he said, oh, these other little kids love her, he definitely warmed up to her. And now anytime he comes in the house, the instant he sees her, she gets hugs. That's grand.
Oh, good. That's awesome. So what is your current custody schedule with him?
We have what would be standard for Oklahoma. So that's, we get a Thursday visit 1 week, and then a Friday, Saturday the next week. And then on the summer schedule, we get week on, week off.
Oh, okay. So that's nice in the summer. Do you like the schedule during the school year?
If he was actually in school, we'd probably like it. But he's been expelled for the last 2 years. So we're pretty much, we're actually going back for primary because of it. She's supposed to do his schoolwork with him every day and then turn it in and pick up the new schoolwork on Mondays. She's not doing that. So she's 2 and 3 weeks behind.
Oh, my.
And the school's just letting her.
Yeah, and that's not going to help him at all.
Absolutely not.
Huh. That's interesting.
And to get him back in school, he has to go to therapy, but she's not taking him to therapy regularly.
Oh, goodness.
So
also not helpful.
He can't go to school. He can't get back in school. All he talks about is Fortnite. So I'm guessing that's all he does at home.
Oh, yeah, I would bet so. You don't have to share anything you don't want to on the podcast, but if you feel like sharing, why was he expelled?
Oh,
because he's so young.
Let's see. The last year was preschool, and he flashed his entire class multiple times. And this year, he got caught in the bathroom slapping other little boys on the butt.
Oh my.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Okay, so then, like, next school year, you're hoping to get him into something?
Hopefully. We filed for primary around November, December, and she was served in January, but we still don't have a court date.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Shoot. Well, so then what's your relationship with the bio mom been like?
Oh...
Because, like, if she's been served, but you guys haven't made any headway, like, all this time, all these months?
Right, right. She straightened up for about 3 weeks, started doing his homework with him, and then I think she just kind of forgot we were supposed to go back to court.
Oh. Do you guys use attorneys?
Yes.
Okay.
Her attorney, though, does not have very good Google reviews.
Oh, well... He's obviously dropped, or he or she's obviously dropped the ball somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are going for primary whenever that happens. Do you feel like Oklahoma favors a mother? Or do you think it's just like they're busy?
Well, when we first went, she tried to get us to go through tribal court because she and the child are Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And we said absolutely not, because we do know that a lot of the tribal courts will favor mom.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're just going through the Oklahoma system. But Oklahoma recently passed a whole bunch of stuff that there was a House bill that gave unmarried equal legal rights. And their standard is now generally 50-50, unless you live too far apart.
Oh, well, that's good.
But that's just happened in the last year or so. So now that we're going to go back, we can definitely try to get more time.
Huh.
If not, just completely flip the custody order.
Right, yeah. And with tribal court, because your husband isn't tribal, so
no.
Or Native American, I should say. So, I mean, he's got that going against him as well if he went through the tribal courts.
Exactly.
Wow, interesting. So then, do you guys, like, communicate regularly with her? Do you parallel parent or co-parent? What does that look like?
Really, we parallel parent. We try to really stay on top of anything we can tell her from our end. Like, when we take him to the doctor, we say, okay, we're going to this doctor. And when we get out of the doctor, we'll, like, copy the doctor's visit's notes. And when we see her again, we'll give her that paperwork. She doesn't do for us. In fact, we just had him last night, and he showed up with a whole bunch of medicine that we had never seen before. And we're like, what is this medicine for?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on? Why are you not telling us anything?
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of scavenge for our information.
Yeah, same.
Most of it comes from the kid, which is just sad.
Yes. So I had an incident with Zoe just this morning. So since we moved, now, like, our kids go to the same schools, and Ryan and Zoe are in the same grade, different teachers, same school. So they have this end of the year party coming up on what day is that? Friday, May 19th. And they have this permission slip, right? So I asked Ryan yesterday, I was like, oh, you need to remember to bring me home that paper. Like, I didn't know if it was a permission slip or what it was. It was just about the end of the year party.
Right.
And he's like, okay, I will. And then I asked Zoe, I was like, did you get one too? And she's like, yeah, my mom signed it. I'm like, cool. Did you turn it in or do you have it with you? And she's like, I have it in my backpack. I'm like, can I see it? Oh my gosh. And that's why my freaking phone doesn't work. So I went to take a picture of it to send it to TJ because it says, like, we agree that the student will not bring their cell phone to use, who is the emergency contact, and like all of these other rules for this party. And she signed it, put my husband down as emergency contact because it's our night to have her. And she was just gonna turn it in without like sending us a picture of it or anything.
Wow.
And this is the second time in 2 weeks it's happened. So of course, like, I wanna, text her and be like, hey, like, you need to communicate these things with us if it affects our time. But I don't. I just ignore it and say, okay, because I'd make more progress talking to a brick wall. But I told Zoe, I said, you've got to make sure that you're communicating this stuff with us when it's our time with you. I said, you are the child. It is not your responsibility. But if you want to do these things, we have to know about them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I told her, I've tried to tell your mom we need more communication, and we just don't get that. And she knows she's old enough. With your kiddo being six, it's got to be so much harder. Because I remember back in the day, like, it was constant, it felt like.
We had, when he first got expelled this school year, well, maybe it wasn't. It was last school year. They expelled him for a little while and they wanted him to get psychological testing. So they sent him to the pediatrician. Pediatrician was supposed to give him a referral. Well, she had my husband take him to the pediatrician and they had to send the intake packet to her. So when they called to get the address, she just told them, I don't know what you're talking about. So he never got that psychological testing. And we're like, why? That's how he's supposed to go back to school. And they let him back in school this school year just for the same thing to happen again because he never got the help he actually needed.
Right. Gosh dang. And that in itself should give you guys primary custody. She's not willing to get him help for something like that. I mean, that's a serious thing, especially when he gets older. Like, obviously, she's a less than stellar human. We all can relate to that, I'm sure. What is your husband's relationship like with Bio Mom? Like, obviously, she doesn't tell you guys things, but like, does he take the lead with her, or do you both do it? What does that look like?
A lot of times I'll kind of have to double check with him what he says before he says anything to her, and I'm like, oh no, she's gonna think that's aggressive. And for a while I just had to do the nacho, had to check out for a while. I'm like, I can't handle her unmitigated anger. I'm like, you got to handle that on your own for a little bit. And he does better now. We've taken a bunch of online classes and read all the books about the parallel parenting and short and sweet, simple messaging, things that she can't argue with. And I think it's a lot better, but she's taken our approach of doing that to the absolute extreme where we now get zero communication unless we ask her first.
Wow.
Which doesn't help the kid at all. We don't know when he's sick. We don't know.
Right.
We don't even know who his pediatrician is because she won't tell us.
Right, yeah. Same thing with our kids. Like, I think it was before one of my husband's deployments, we asked BioMom for, you know, their doctor's information just in case, and she sent it to us. And that was like the first time that we had ever been involved in something like that. And it's because she purposely keeps all of that from us.
Yep.
So I don't know. I just don't think that it helps anyone doing that. Like you know, my ex makes TJ's look like a bright, shiny star. Just because he doesn't do anything. So I don't communicate a whole lot with him because he doesn't pay for anything. He doesn't go to appointments. He doesn't go to sports games. He doesn't do schoolwork. He doesn't sign school papers. Like, I'm just thankful he feeds them. So, you know, it's a little easier, but like, and we have Ryan 6 days a week.
Yeah.
But with TJ, like, we have the kids 54% of the time. And like, he's got to be involved in some way, especially now in this new house. They're here before and after school every day. And then we have them every weekend. So I don't know, like, she just thinks that she does everything. She takes care of everything. She'll do everything. And they just come and sleep here. Like, we do nothing.
See, and that's the thing, because she wants everyone to think she's doing everything.
Right.
But we kind of have proof that she's not doing anything.
Right. I was doing their dental appointments for a while, and now just this last time she decided that she wants to do it, probably because she really thinks they all need braces and they don't. And I told TJ, because she got Izzy braces, and they were not medically necessary, which is what their divorce decree says. But TJ's like, I don't want to fight with her. Our half would be $75 a month. Let's just pay it. And I was like, all right, I'll do it with this kid. But if we have another one of these pop up, I'm not doing it. Not doing it.
Yeah.
So last time at the dentist, she was there and I was there. And she asked the dentist if Gabe needed braces. And the dentist is like, no, he's still a little young. I'm like, thank you. Okay. So then I thought of this question before, but I didn't want to interrupt. Because your stepson was a year old when you met him. So what's the story with your husband and BioMom?
Well, they were dating, and they went out with his friends, and she takes a shot and she goes, I'm pregnant, and everyone at the table freaks out. I'm like, why did you take a shot? And that was the beginning of the end. And she wanted to stay home, of course, with him. And after a few months, he's like, this isn't working out. You gotta go back to work.
Right. So then were they married or?
No, they were not married. They kind of texted for a while, and then one day she just showed up on his doorstep and she's like, well, I'm homeless right now. And then they started dating. And I'm like, you can't just, I believe that's referred to as a hobosexual. can't just date homeless people.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. Hobosexual. Oh,
but he's like, at one point, he's like, I guess it was like 6 months before we met. He's like, we have to talk about our relationship. And she's like, no, I'm just going to avoid you. Yeah. And he's like, okay, cool. And she just takes off to her mom's house with the kid and never comes back to their apartment.
Oh, wow. So then he, at that point, is probably when he went and got an attorney.
No, actually. I'm trying to think of the timeline. They split up. He moved to my town, which is about 30 minutes away from where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started dating, she's like, I'm going to meet this girl before she meets our kid. And he's like, okay, cool. So one day I was spending the night and I got up in the middle of the night, and we were all night shifters at this point. So we had the night off. She got off at like 3 a.m. She came up over to his apartment because she apparently just did that for a while. And they were downstairs, and I woke up and I came downstairs too. And we sat in the living room for a good 2-3 hours, and she didn't say a single word to me.
Hmm.
Like, not even just, hi, my name is nothing. For like 3 hours. I'm like, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah. Do you think that she's intimidated by you?
I want to say yes. But
I mean, it sounds like it, just because I deal with the same thing when Cammy comes around.
I don't know
like
much that it's intimidation versus lack of control.
Oh, yeah. Could be.
Because, I keep my house pretty locked down.
It's same. Yeah, same. That's funny. So when you guys go back to court for primary, obviously you're hoping for the school situation to be resolved, or at least started, like figured out.
Right.
And then are you going to go for, full primary custody? You have them all the time, or are you going to give her some?
I mean, I think at this point, since he does nothing but play Fortnite over there, she would be a better weekend parent, and she mm-hmm. would enjoy it more because she would have more free time for herself. She doesn't yeah. want to admit that because she likes to play Facebook mom.
Yeah.
Oh, I have my kids. Oh, I'm doing it all. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be better for him that way.
Yeah, I agree.
We're pretty strict with our day-to-day schedule, and we've been that way since we went to court the first time. We get up in the morning, we eat breakfast, he goes and he brushes his teeth, he does yoga in the mornings, then we do our homework. Then he can play until lunchtime, and then after lunchtime, we'll go outside.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, after dinner, we'll all watch a movie or play a board game together. And that's our everyday, especially during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We try and do that every day. But we try and emphasize the education that we know he's not getting on top of spending time as a family.
Right, yeah. And that that connection and the quality time.
Mm-hmm.
So important when they're little like that.
Yeah, last summer we just me and him, we went out, we hung out. We went to the mall and we got cotton candy, and we went to the movies, and we were just kind of hanging out at the riverfront. He looks at me, he goes, you know what would make this great? And I go, what, buddy? He goes, if we had a little sister. I'm like, oh, you want a little sister? Like, yeah, you're going to give me a little sister. I'm like, you've been talking to your dad, haven't you?
Are you guys not want, or are you, I should say, not wanting kids?
Well, we want one, but it seems like every time we get enough savings, we have to spend it all to go back to court.
Right.
And he's like, let's just have one. Like, not gonna be poor, so might as well. I'm like,
I mean, I do agree to a point. Like, you can never have enough saved up because you can't really plan for everything that could happen. But I also understand, like, you want to be comfortable and,
right,
you know, not have that added stress.
I guess it was like 2 months ago now, we were going to have him for spring break. And I'm like, we don't have a babysitter. I don't know who we can use. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to quit my job. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to do everything that I wanted to do. And he's like, I'm like, I'm going to go back to school. And of course I quit. And a week later, they weren't offering the program that I wanted to get into anymore.
Oh no.
So I'm like, I don't know what to do now. So now I just do DoorDash and I donate blood and I officiate weddings. I got ordained to officiate weddings.
Look,
so now I do elopements and my podcast, and I'm also helping my husband start his gaming channels, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Today after we get off.
You're going to be like the go-to girl.
I am. I want to be that. Maybe start a babysitting service too. I can do that all around. Babysitting, officiate weddings, and fill out paperwork for people who want to get divorced. Then I can be a well-rounded individual.
So speaking about, you know, what you're doing, you've got your podcast. Do you want to talk to us about that a little bit?
Okay. My podcast is called Alienation Impact. And I wanted to start this podcast because I wanted to dive deeper into how to help and tell the stories of the children who are involved in parental alienation and how that affects them as adults in their relationships. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these children who are in these situations may end up with mental health issues, substance abuse issues, and even the parents can end up with these issues, but when I went looking for the information about the children who have been involved in this, all I found was the parents. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, who's telling the kids' stories?
Mm-hmm.
Who's finding out what happens after they're adults? And that's what I want to know. I want to help people tell those stories.
Yeah, I'm so excited for it. I know you sent me the link, and then obviously I'm like not on my A game with technology these days, but definitely can't wait to listen. I'm so excited. So as you know from listening to my podcast, my oldest biological son has been alienated from me by his father. And we haven't podcasted in a while, but Matthew is back with his dad primarily. And you know, it's just one of those things where I continue to try and carry myself gracefully through the hard times. I try and be patient with him, because I do hope that someday he sees the truth and sees what his dad did intentionally to hurt him. Because it's not, I mean, yes, it does hurt me, but it's really hurting my kid. And that's what hurts me most, is that my kid is being hurt. And it's frustrating when you can't do anything about it.
It very, very much is. And it just leads to so many other things. And primarily in the children not trusting their own feelings,
mm-hmm.
which then snowballs into so many other issues.
Right, I agree, especially because when they're kids, they don't understand every feeling all the time. You know, sometimes it's like they feel it and they know what it feels like, but they can't verbalize it. And I think that Matthew knows he's being manipulated, but he's so obnoxiously loyal to his dad that he just really thinks he's the coolest thing ever.
Right, right. We also try and do, after we do our yoga in the mornings, we try and do a lot of emotional work. We have a feelings wall, as we called it.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten all of our posters off of Amazon, and it tells you to think about what you're going to say. Is it necessary? Is it kind? Is it important? We've got an emotions wheel from like happy to sad to over this, and it doubles as expanding his vocabulary, which we really love that.
Mm-hmm.
But we practice calming techniques, and it's not something we have to do regularly because we don't see these behaviors that are apparently being reported to his therapist that he almost never sees.
Mm-hmm.
But we feel like if these things are real and we're just not seeing them, then maybe they will help him somewhere else if he's not at home.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Because you can only control what happens in your house. And so if something's going on outside of your house, you have to teach them how to best handle it, because you can't always go to the other parent and be like, hey, you know, the kid's dealing with this, and you know, this is what we're doing. It's the same with us, and ours have been like crazy things like not wearing a seatbelt. Well, I have told Bio Mom, like, please make sure the children are buckled up. I've told her mother, please make sure the children are buckled up and not in the back of your SUV holding the Mother's Day flowers so they don't tip over. And, you know, then they spout back with something else. I'll take care of my kids or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm the primary parent. Is what
you say?
I'm the primary parent.
Right. Yes. Yeah. How dare me, the stepmother, say something like, buckle up your fucking kid. So what I started to do was just start teaching the kids, you know,
yep.
Like, it is the law. It is a safety issue. Like, you've got to be buckled up for your safety. If you do not feel comfortable because an adult is telling you to do something, just share your feelings. Hey, I would be more comfortable if I could be sitting in a seat, buckled up. You know, that is my preference. And I think that it has worked. But we've had to do that with many things. I'm trying to think of another situation. It came to me and then I lost it. Gosh dang. Yeah, I don't remember, but it's stuff like that, like buckling them up. Like, really, you shouldn't have to be told that, you know, but just do it. And then, yet yeah, here I am, the bad one. So we just...
Yeah, we went to, well, I guess it was a couple months ago when it first started getting warm. We went to the riverfront and we let him ride his bike down there because there's a bike park. Well, I said, only go this far. Well, he stopped paying attention, went way farther, and almost tumbled into the Arkansas River. And I'm like, kid, that's exactly why I said that. I'm like, do you realize if you fell in, nobody could have caught you? You were way too far away.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, we went to a different park that just had a pond, almost drove the bike straight into the pond. And I'm like, wow, you really didn't learn from yesterday, did you? <I'm> like, you kind of have to work better I'm like, I can't just bring a life vest every time there's a body of water. You have to listen to me.
That is funny. Gosh dang. And kids just, they don't realize that, you know, like you're saying it to be, you know, like to keep them alive or to make them
right.
be a decent human. They just think, you know, like you're nagging or whatever. We tell our kids all the time, like we have rules for a reason. Rules are for safety.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, you know, look both ways when you cross the street. Ryan, I was coming around the corner the other day from getting my hair done and he runs across the street because he was walking home. Didn't even look. So I just laid on my horn, like got his attention, didn't I? I'm like, look both ways.
And you know, they're just kids being kids, but when the other household doesn't have many, if any, rules.
Yes.
It just exasperates the problem.
Yes. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles that we've had is that we're the house with rules and BioMom is the fun one. And, you know, we've got the rules and the structure and like, you will respect me. Because some of the stuff that like Izzy tells us a lot about how the others behave at the other house and like the way Zoe treats her mom, if she was my daughter, she would be grounded forever the way she treats her mom. And I don't care for their mom at all. But, you know, I tolerate her and I'm nice to her in person. But like, even I am telling Zoe, like, you've got to respect your mother. Like, don't treat her like that. I said, no one in this world will love you the way that she loves you. Even though I think that's a lie, because I love her more, I think. But they just, it goes back to the alienation. They just think that the other parent is just the world's greatest thing. And they don't see the truth all the time.
Right.
Not as much fun going to bed on time or not being on your phone 8 hours a day at 11 years old. Ugh.
Yeah, because the alienated parent treats them like a golden child, like they can't do anything wrong. They don't mm-hmm. have any rules.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help them at all. It's like, okay, you do realize it might be a child, but one day they'll be an adult and there will be rules. What happens then?
Yeah, yeah. Then it'll be like, I tell Izzy, like parents give their kids these little nudges, right? And so like we nudge her to drive. We nudge her to get a job. We nudge her to pay her car insurance. And like, I know it's not fun, but these are the things that like lead you into adulthood and prepare you for that. So us as parents, like we're giving you these nudges with the expectation that you are moving forward and progressing so that you are, you know, a more capable adult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I want to know, I wrote this note down earlier because I was thinking about it. What boundaries have you guys set with BioMom?
Ooh.
I know.
Well, we don't do phone calls at all.
Good.
No phone calls, everything in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we get almost no communication because she knows everything's in writing.
Right.
I initially set the boundary that she doesn't come in our house.
Mm-hmm.
Like the very first time she tried to, she showed up for exchange half an hour early and said she had to pee. And I'm like, you passed 3 Walmarts, 2 McDonald's, and 4 gas stations on the way here. You could have peed literally anywhere.
Right.
But I'm like, this is my safe space. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. Plus all of the bathrooms are connected to someone's bedroom. No, thank you.
Oh yeah.
We try not to talk at exchanges. She will yell at us if she thinks we're ignoring her, but she never says anything positive in front of the kids, so we just try not to talk to her as much as possible.
Gosh, that's so tough. And then, like, when he gets older and he's in sports or he has a school event, like, that's just going to be tough.
Yeah.
So does she stay at home with him then since he's not in school, or is he in like some sort of daycare or have a nanny? What does that look like?
See, she lived with her mom, and coincidentally, I told you somebody rolled our car in October.
Yes.
So we got pain and suffering money for that. And coincidentally, stuff like started showing up at her house, and then a week after that is when she got served. And so about 2 weeks after that, she magically got a trailer to live in. So I'm like, well, at least our money went to getting him an actual home.
Right.
Not just sleeping on the floor in grandma's house.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I forgot what the question was.
Interrupt me if you think of it. Do you and your husband have like rules, you know, like we don't talk about her in the bedroom or we don't talk about her for more than 30 minutes? Like, do you have anything like that? Or does it just not come up so much since you guys are more parallel parenting?
I did have to like step back because I just couldn't handle it. And I said, please only tell me about the things she says if it's something really, really important or you can't figure out how to respond to it yourself. Other than that, I really don't need to know. I don't want to know because I can't handle it.
Right. So then, what do you do when it comes to parenting in your home? Like, are you pretty active or do you let him kind of take the lead there as well?
I'm pretty active. I come from a huge family. Both my mom and my dad each have 4 siblings.
Okay.
So I have about 100 or so cousins on each side. And I'm the youngest of the grandchildren. So the great grandchildren were being born like right after me. I think the oldest great grandchild is literally 2 months younger than me. So I grew up raising all these kids. I'm like, I know exactly what's supposed to happen and what's not supposed to happen.
Right. All right. Yeah. My biological dad has 7 siblings and his youngest sibling has 7 kids and their youngest kid is younger than my oldest son. So if you followed that.
Yeah.
So kind of a same situation, though I'm not nearly as close with that side of the family as I am my mom's, but.
Oh yeah. I don't talk to, somebody actually sent me in the mail invitation to my grandmother's 90th birthday party next weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised anyone had my address. I haven't talked to any of you in like 3 years.
Oh,
I occasionally see an aunt in the grocery store, but that's about it.
That's funny. I'm very close with my mom's side of the family. Like my cousins on that side are very much like siblings. So we're all very close, and my aunts, you know, are like second mothers. So I really, really like that closeness.
Yeah, I adore my mom's side of the family, but everyone has split up all over the country and I'm so upset about it. My sister just moved to Montana. I will never be able to tell you how upset. I'm like, can't you just leave your kids here? I'm like, you and my brother-in-law, you can go, but just let me raise those kids for you.
Yeah, that's funny. Oh gosh, what was I just going to ask you? Oh, I was going to ask you about your in-laws.
Oh, I mean, they're nice people, I'm sure. Someone thinks they're nice people.
Let me have it. Come on.
My mother-in-law and my father-in-law split up when my husband was about five. Okay. So he kind of saw and remembers some of the arguments.
Gotcha.
And then his father actually hit him with his grandmother's and his great-grandmother's at their house for an entire year and didn't let his mother see him. And she thought he had the kids the whole time when he was with his grandmother's. And so she just went over one day and picked him up. And she's like, that doesn't even make sense why I wasn't allowed to see you. But he somehow ended up back living with his mother, back living with his father and his stepmother. And he had a stepbrother and maybe a stepsister. They didn't really like each other. His stepmother kind of overstepped, and he was already a teenager. She treated them like preteens, but they were teenagers, and he's ended up very sheltered. Like I've expanded. He says, you've just expanded my worldview so much. There are so many foods and places I've never been. And I'm like, yeah, because your stepmom and your grandmother's never let you leave the house.
Yeah.
Does he barely use a computer, man?
Yeah. Does he still talk with his stepmom or have a relationship with?
No, not at all. She was like one of four.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. So do they live near you guys?
My mother-in-law and my stepfather-in-law actually live on the other side of town.
Oh, okay.
About 15 minutes away. And she's a little mad right now that baby mama is mad at her.
Oh.
And won't let her see the kid. And she, because of all this psychological testing, his pediatrician put him on Prozac. And my mother-in-law does not agree with that. And I'm like, well, you can't just not give it to him. That could mess him up more.
Right.
I sent him with her one night, and he's supposed to have his medicine in the morning. She didn't give him the medicine. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. You can not do what I asked you to, but I don't have to send him over here anymore.
Right.
So nobody's letting her see the kid, and she's super mad about it. And I feel bad for my stepfather-in-law because it's not his fault, but
he's the one that hears about it.
Yeah. I'm like, you could probably come over, but you can't tell her you came over.
Oh, right. Top secret. No one tell her.
I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to pit spouses against each other, but
right,
she's got to realize that we're in the middle of doing what we can, and
everyone has to help.
I don't know why baby mama ever acted like she liked her to begin with. Well, actually, I do know. It was because she was a free babysitter.
Oh, yes. Yep. That's true.
But yeah.
Well, I am going to link all of link your podcast into the show notes. And then do you have a separate Instagram for that one?
Yes, I do. Yes,
you do. All right. So shoot that to me in an Instagram message, and I'll add that as well so that everybody can get in contact with you and follow and listen to your podcast.
Yes, I still need my first guest. I did my intro, but I'm still looking for my first guest.
Well, you know, I was not a child alienated from my parent. Because my parents didn't get divorced until I was in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. But when they were divorcing, my dad tried to pin me against my mom, which ended up severely backfiring because now I don't have a relationship with him. But, you know, a little bit different of a story. But if I do hear of somebody that was a child that experienced that parental alienation, I will definitely send them your way.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I've enjoyed speaking to you like voice to voice and not just via email or chat.
Yeah, it's been great.
I would love to have you back and wish nothing but the best for you. And I hope you stay in touch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for having
me. You're welcome. Yes. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.